Last week, Rich introduced and used the illustration of the aircraft Concorde. And he spoke about how we are marvelously made, yet fatally flawed. Something has gone wrong fundamentally, and we are all in desperate need of rescue and restoration. Our lives indeed need to be totally transformed. Now the good news is that Jesus came into this world so that our lives can be totally transformed. And the first step to that transformed life is to become a Christian, to be in Christ. I want to ask you a question. Have you taken that step? Well, if you haven't, or if you're unsure, please don't leave without speaking to myself or one of the leaders here. We're here to help you, and we're only too pleased to do that. When someone becomes a Christian, God does a deep work in their lives, placing them in Christ. This morning, we're going to explore just something briefly of what that means. We're going to look at the first two verses of the book of Ephesians, where Paul, the author of this great book, writes our memory verse that we've had. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, right at the very beginning, Paul introduces to us three great themes of the transformed life: identity, belonging, and purpose. And begins to show us something of the wonder of this transformed life, which he unpacks in more detail later in the book. Here we have an insight into the way in which Paul answers the three most important questions in life. Questions that many of us, even today, struggle with. Who am I? Where do I belong? What am I living for? A group of soldiers got lost during the Gulf crisis, and eventually they came across an American general who was surveying the field. "Do you know where we are?" the men blurted out. Now, the general was very annoyed that they were improperly dressed, didn't salute him, didn't address him as sir, and responded with an indignant question: "Do you know who I am?"
"Now we've got a real problem," said one of the soldiers rather quietly to the rest.
"We don't know where we are, and he doesn't know who he is. If I were to ask you the question this morning, who are you? I wonder what range of answers we would get." For Paul, his answer would be, "I am who God says I am." Where do you get your sense of identity? For some, it's what they own or what they do. You know, the big detached 5-bedroom house, the flash car, the latest designer fashion outfit, the amount of money or lack of money in the bank account, our social standing, our occupation, our position in the pecking order of the company, whether we fly in luxury first class or EasyJet. For others, it might be what others have said about them. How cruel we can sometimes be in labelling and dismissing people. For others, it's what they've achieved. A first-class honours degree at the best university. For others, it's what their children achieve. Even the most successful people can find themselves on a roller coaster ride as they gain their sense of identity from their work and later struggle in redundancy or retirement. For Paul, it was very simple. For those who have experienced the transformed life, our sense of identity comes not from what we do, but from what God has done. Notice how he addresses his readers to the saints who are in Ephesus, the faithful in Jesus Christ. What do you think of when you hear of the word saint? For many people, the word saint has been associated with a status that is conferred on people after they die on the basis of things they have done while alive. With a sense of being a saint reserved for very few people, special people, and difficult to attain. Just last week, in the news, we heard of Mother Teresa, who worked among the destitute and dying in Calcutta, in India, being canonized, being recognized as a saint by the Roman Catholic Church. Interestingly, someone attending the service commented that Mother Teresa was a saint long before her canonization. In the Bible, Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he writes to them and addresses them all as saints. He's saying that this word saint isn't just reserved for the few, but for everyone who is in Christ. Based not on what they have done, but on the fact that they have been made brand new. And by the way, brand new has nothing whatsoever to do with being branded or branding. Brand new literally means as if it's just emerged from manufacture, straight from the fire of the forge, or as a piece of pottery, straight from the fire of the kiln. The implications here are huge. Your identity is not to do with what you have or haven't done, but with what happened when you became a Christian. When someone becomes a Christian, there is a complete change of identity. You are brand new. You were a sinner. Now you are a saint, set apart for God, one of his consecrated people. When we were placed in Christ, we took on the same status before God that Jesus has. You see, so often we get things wrong. We get them the wrong way round. We think, if I could just be a bit more holy, if I could get just a few more things right, then possibly I might be called a saint. No. What the Bible teaches is the other way round. If you are in Christ, you are a saint. Now, as a Christian, we need to live like one. Paul was very aware of the amazing change that had taken place in his own life. From the moment he gave his life to Christ, he ceased to be a sinner and became a saint. And as he says here, he ceased to be Saul, the persecutor of the church, and instead became Paul, an apostle, a messenger, a proclaimer of Jesus Christ. He makes a choice not to allow his identity to be rooted in his old behavior, but in his brand new identity. So many of us still allow our sense of identity to be shaped by all the wrong things. Maybe you've had others put labels on your life. Failure, reject, orphan, loner, bore, useless, ugly. Those labels no longer need to identify who you are, because you are brand new in Christ. When you became a Christian, God gave you a whole new set of names, some of which we'll be looking at in the next few weeks. Saint, beloved, precious child, son, daughter of the King of Kings. What does that make us? Royalty, prince and princesses. Can I encourage you during this series to let the Word of God show you who you are? And make a choice to build your life on what God says you are. It's time to reject those old labels. Memorize our key verse each week. And when you get home today, you might turn to the summary on day 50 in the devotional book and take time to just chew over the declarations that you'll find there. I've just put up a few of them. Let the wonder of this brand new identity flood your being. I am a saint. I am forgiven. I am a new creation. I belong to the family of God. I am a fellow citizen with God's people. The second great theme Paul introduces here is the sense of belonging. In our individualistic world today, where there is so much family breakdown, there is loneliness, isolation, and lack of community. I'm sure you would agree with me, within each of us, there is a fundamental need to find a place where we belong. We were indeed created for community. If I were to ask you, where do you belong? I wonder what you would say. If you were to ask the Apostle Paul, he would say, I belong to God's family. If you've ever felt left out, excluded on your own, I've got great news for you today. When you became a Christian, you became part of the greatest place of belonging, the family of God. Why is that so great? Let me just give you a few pointers. First of all, in our key verse for today, Paul writes about our Father. The head of this family is no less than God the Father. In other words, when you became a Christian and placed in Christ, you were adopted by a loving Father, chosen by name. And now you can come to him at any time. As Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access to the Father by the one Spirit. Maybe you don't appreciate how amazing this would have seemed to Paul's first readers in Ephesus. You see, before Jesus, the only people who had access to God were the Jewish nation. And then only one man from the entire nation, the high priest. And more than that, only he could enter the part of the temple where God's presence dwelt. But that was only on one special day. Each year. No one else was permitted access to God. Now, because you have been placed in Christ, all of those barriers have gone. You can come right into the presence of this Father at any time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, whenever you choose. And there's more. When Paul uses the phrase, our Father, he's referring to the fact that this Father, his head of a household that extends right across the nations of the whole world. Not only do you now have a new Father, a wonderful heavenly Father, rich and powerful, full of love, but Jesus is family. Your brother. And you have fellow brothers and sisters all over the world, on every continent, and from every kind of background, of every age imaginable. The family of God. Paul puts it like this in Ephesians 2:19. Therefore, and I'm reading from the Amplified Bible here. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens. But you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself. And you belong to God's own household. Just focus on those words a moment. If you are in Christ, you are no longer an outsider. You're a citizen with God's own people. Why citizen? Because Paul wants us to understand the amazing truth that we are not a part of this family by passing some test or exam, trying really hard to be good. No, it's far better than that. We are treated as though we were born into this family with the same rights as Jesus. Your birth certificate has been changed. God has written on it, citizen of heaven, member of my family, child of God. You belong to God's own household. Over these next 7 weeks, we are going to learn more about the wonder of being in God's family. Let's make the most of being part of the family of God, enjoying the presence of our Father as we gather together locally here at Chelsea and in our home groups. Now, if you're not in a home group, it's not too late to join today. Just mention you would like to join one of the groups to Rob, where is he? At the back over there. Or Graham. Graham, he's over there. And I'm sure they'll fit you in. Come week by week on Sunday, expectant, full of faith that our Father is going to work in you and in others. Now, the third great theme that Paul introduces in these opening verses is the critical question, what are you living for? To make the most of life, we need to know where we're living, what we're living for, or indeed, where we're going. There's a story about Albert Einstein taking the train to speak at a meeting. The conductor stopped by to punch his ticket, but the great scientist searched everywhere and he couldn't find it. Not in his pockets, not in his briefcase. The conductor said, "Don't worry, sir. I know who you are. You're Dr. Einstein. I'm sure you bought a ticket." As he moved away, he looked back to see Einstein scrabbling around on the floor, still looking for his ticket. The conductor again tried to reassure him, but Einstein said this, "It's okay, I know who I am. What I don't know and why I'm searching for my ticket, I don't know where I'm going." A third aspect of being brand new is not only do we come to know who we are and where we belong, but we also find a real sense of purpose. If you could ask Paul, what was he living for? His reply would be, "I'm living for God's plan for my life." Notice how Paul introduced himself in verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God." Paul was acutely aware that he discovered his true purpose and calling on earth by being in the will of God. It was only when he turned to God and was placed in Christ that he found what he was actually made for. A fellow by the name of John Noe said, "Purpose is the engine, the power that drives our lives." Now, when we become part of God's family, it's like God puts us in gear. He puts the purpose in our lives. The eternal creator of the world, who has plans for all the earth, connects us into his plans and has created a part for us to play. This sense of purpose will begin to pervade everything. Not just the big things of life, but also the ordinary and the mundane. God wants us to know we were created on purpose, for a purpose. Just listen to this wonderful promise from later in the book of Ephesians. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." How amazing is that? You are God's workmanship. He is the one who has made you. You are extraordinary. You are a masterpiece. You are a one-off. You are unique. There is no one else like you. As indeed Rich reminded us last week. And as the writer of Psalm 139 exclaims, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Where do we find our true purpose? In Christ. Designed to do what? Good works. To be co-laborers with God in seeing his plans fulfilled on earth. This is incredible. Just as Jesus enjoyed intimate relationship with his Father and out of that fulfilled his Father's plans, so now, because we are in Christ, we too can enjoy the same intimacy with the Father and be involved in carrying out the Father's plans. Think of it. The all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God has made plans for this world. And he intends that you and I should join him in making them happen. What's more, as we step out into these things, we find that he has gone before us to prepare the way. A perfect fit for the way he has designed us. During this series, can I encourage you, and I include myself, to seek and ask God for a greater sense of purpose in our lives, both in the small and mundane, as well in the greater assignments that God may have for our lives. As you read day by day the personal devotional readings in the book, The Transformed Life, it might be good to perhaps keep a journal. If you've never used a journal before, why not give it a go this week? Stop and think on what you have read each day, and then write or type, reflecting on what God is saying to you. In Christ, we are made brand new. Pray as we learn more about this transformed life, that we each may have a greater awareness of who we are in Christ, of our new identity, of belonging to God's family, and a greater sense of purpose in our lives. May that be so.